to remember the time where The Onion was hands down the funniest satirical outlet out there. All the stuff that they put out was hilarious, just these really funny t-shirt worthy one-liners and phrases, and you know, in a lot of ways they were probably just ready to dominate the world of memes before the world of memes was a thing. I'm talking about like the 90s when I first encountered The Onion. And I can also remember I played on the tennis team. This kid rolls into practice with this Onion t-shirt. It's just a plain white t-shirt, black letters. It said, "Your favorite band sucks." And I thought it was so funny, and still think it's so funny, because it's such a shot right in the face, right? You're just hitting somebody right between the nose, right between the eyes, right in the nose. Because there's very few things more personal than our preferences about music, than our preferences about, you know, sports, or your whatever you think the best way to do something is, or the best person to have done something, or whatever we think is the best, we think is the best. You could also, I can remember back to reading How to Win Friends and Influence People, probably maybe even around the same time. Probably around that same time, maybe a couple years later, once I had graduated high school and college. But he talks about, Dale Carnegie talks about how a person's name, just your name, is just music to your ears. And it's true. You know, you call somebody by their name, there's just a lot going on there. So we have obvious preferences. It's not groundbreaking stuff, but we have preferences. And another thing that's been on my mind quite a bit lately, thanks to Elizabeth Husselry, is she talked about how we have universal needs, but meet them with personal preferences. We have universal needs, and we come up with our personal solutions to those needs, something along those lines. And it all makes sense, because we don't all like the same things, even though there's a lot of people talking these days like we all should like the same stuff, and that we don't have unique preferences, and that we don't prefer certain things over other things. But we all know that that's true. So, that in mind, what's your favorite song? What is your favorite song? Can you answer that question for me? Mine is Thunder Road by Bruce Springsteen. And it doesn't mean I listen to it all the time. In fact, I listen to it very rarely, because I want it to be special, because it is special. And I don't want to just wear it out. I'm sure that I wore it out for many, many years. So do you have a favorite song? What about your favorite color, favorite food, your favorite sport, your favorite team? All of these things. But what about money? What about the world of finance and investing and money? What is your favorite way to invest, your favorite thing to invest? Do you have a favorite thing that you like to spend money on? Do you have a favorite approach to managing your finances? Do you have a favorite way to budget? Do you have a favorite way to whatever? Whatever. What are your preferences when it comes to money? There are so many different ways to become wealthy, to amass wealth, to make your way in the world, all of this stuff. But do we have it? And if we don't, why don't we? Why don't we have preferences there? Probably the simple answer is it's not quite as fun. It's talking about my favorite song, or my favorite food, or my favorite restaurant, or whatever. I don't even know if I have a favorite. Clearly, I do, because I have money and I have many different investments, but certainly more in certain investments and less in others. So why don't we? What are some of those factors that keep us from doing that beyond simply it's just not exciting, it's not sexy, it's not interesting, even though it certainly can be all of those things? Is it that we just haven't encountered it? We haven't looked at it enough? We don't understand it? I think that the majority of Americans are invested in the stock market. I think over 50% of us are invested in the stock market. And many of us do own real estate. Certainly, the number of Americans that are buying cryptocurrency is increasing. I wonder how many Americans own gold of some kind, how many Americans are entrepreneurs and invest in small businesses. There's so many different ways to do it. So, and then I'm curious about what is a meaningful amount of money that would prompt or motivate somebody to be able to explore that. Not $5, it's probably not $50 or $500, maybe $5,000. What would you do with a sum of money like that? And that's a number that is being kicked around and batted around as some kind of a dividend from the government on the work that they're doing with the Department of Government Efficiency lately. What would you do with that money if it fell into your lap? Would you go out and just immediately spend it? Would you use it to pay off credit card debt? The average American has around $8,000 of credit card debt, so you could take a pretty big chunk out of that. Would you throw it in the savings account? Would you invest it in something? What would you do with the money? Maybe you would invest in yourself. Maybe you would take some kind of a certification, or you would get a personal trainer, or you'd hire a financial advisor, new degree of some kind. Maybe you'd start a business. Maybe you'd go and throw $5,000 at Bitcoin or that gold I just mentioned. Who knows? And sometimes I think that as we're making those kinds of decisions, it's a more obvious thing, because when we do invest in the stock market, odds are many of us do it through a 401k. And if we had a 401k at an old company, maybe we now have an IRA that we moved and we've rolled it into an individual retirement account. So accessibility, I think, is certainly an important thing. So trying to figure out what to do with this money, and simply the friction of having to go and research how to open an account that will allow me to buy Bitcoin or whatever, gold. Is that just a barrier that is high enough to keep people out of doing it? I think certainly. You know, right now I'm in the habit of not investing in Bitcoin. If I'm not currently investing in Bitcoin, I am in the habit of not investing in Bitcoin. If I'm not an investor in gold, and I just use these as, these are just things that are popping into my head. So I'm not advocating that you go buy Bitcoin or gold. I don't care. But if I'm not currently, then I'm just not in the habit of that. And so changing behavior, we're all well aware, is not an easy thing to do. So I have a 401k, it's at work. So maybe I figure out how to just increase the money going in there. And then there's certainly a lot of different investments out there that are confusing, or that I don't have access to necessarily because of account minimums and things like that. And then probably I've got some kind of bias. I've got just the way that family does things, or the way that my family has done things. Maybe we're real estate investors. Maybe we are stock investors. Maybe we like collectibles. Maybe we're entrepreneurs. So there's so many different ways to invest. But why is it that you engage in the kind of behavior that you engage in? So that money falls into your lap. What do you do with it? So $5,000. Well, I think that if I were to open the aperture a little bit and slide it back just a smidge, what would you do with $25,000? If $25,000 fell into your lap with no strings attached, what would you do with it? And that is a sum of money right there that I believe is highly instructive in answering that main question of what's your go-to way to invest money? What is your go-to? Maybe you take a very measured approach and you'd split it out five ways. $5,000, $5,000, $5,000, $5,000, $5,000. Bitcoin, debt, savings, stock market, whatever. Maybe take it all and put it right into the market, right in the stock market. Maybe you use it to save up for the down payment on a home. Okay, what would you do with it? I do believe that that is a pretty instructive thing. So, there's so many different variables to consider and to think about. And when we get into these preferences, is it a function of I'm interested in having this be extremely hands-off, this idea of passive investing? Or is it a function of this is something that I'm going to put money into and then I need to constantly look at it? I need to be paying close attention to it. If I've invested myself, that's obviously what's going to happen. If I invest in myself and I enroll in a program, I will have to go and do the schoolwork and the learning and put it to practice. If I'm buying a house, I'm obviously going to live there. So there's so many different considerations. And if I am going to be buying real estate, is that, am I in a position where I'm going to be able to, that I've factored in the total costs of it because it's more than simply buying a house. There's a lot more costs that go into it. I think you get the idea. So my goal with this episode is to get you to really think about what is my go-to. What are my preferences? If I did have this sum of money fall in my lap, how would I allocate it? What would I do with it? And then that will take us down the path of, okay, seems like I do think that real estate is the best way to grow wealth. Or I think that I would like to get into crypto, but I don't understand how to do it. So it'll catalyze a learning process where you say, you know what? I got 25,000. That is enough of an emergency fund that would then position me to go ahead and take that entrepreneurial leap that I've been thinking about doing for some time. So a lot of the time I don't know if stuck is the right term, but we are consistent with our behavior. We follow very predictable patterns and habits and routines, and those help us to be successful. Are your current patterns and habits and routines when it comes to your investing, is it getting you where you want to go? Or would you benefit from going through the exercise that I just laid out in a more organized basis and say, okay, if I got that 25 grand, this is what I'd do with it. And then that would hopefully put you in a position where you could get to work on planning on how to save and invest more money. Because that's certainly something that we could all probably benefit from doing. So, and as we are all on the path to finding financial success, whatever that level of success or whatever that really means, I want you to take heart in a lot of the wisdom that was gleaned from the gentleman who wrote The Millionaire Next Door. And they talked about how the behaviors of people that became self-generation or first-generation millionaires, that means that they did not inherit money. They, through their own work and their own saving and investing, were able to amass a net worth of over $1 million in their lifetime. And one of the key takeaways was simply that these people got in the habit of saving 15 to 20% of everything that they earned. Okay. So if I'm able to do that, which is not easy to do, especially these days, because, I mean, just for me personally, when I struggled with finances when I was in my 20s, it was all just self-inflicted. It was all self-inflicted stuff. It was just not doing a good job managing my finances. It was not paying attention. It was just mostly over-consuming, though, just spending money on stuff. But these days, there's certainly a lot of that going on, but we also have inflation, so things are just more expensive. So my heart goes out to you, for sure, if you're in a position where you're struggling. But that's why I did do the show, is I'm interested in helping you get further along or closer to whatever version of yourself and your finances that you're interested in getting to. So take heart in that. I think it's extremely possible, regardless of where you are, to get to the point where where you're on track to get to where you want to go. So if you can get to the point where you're saving 15-20% of everything you earn, you have the potential to become a millionaire, to amass that much money, which I think that if you ever hope to retire in the United States of America, you certainly need to do that. And I'm agnostic when it comes to how you actually make it happen. If it's entrepreneurship, great. If it's stock market, great. If it's real estate, if it's crypto, I don't care. Commodities, it doesn't matter to me at all. So what is essential, though, what I do know for sure, is that if you are not able to save money, you are going to have a really, 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 really hard time ever becoming financially successful. We're just going to end up spending it all. So you need to get to the point where you are able to start saving. And you can't go from 0 to 20%. So go from 0 to 1% or 0 to 5%. And you do that, it's paying yourself first, essentially, particularly if right now you're living paycheck to paycheck, which means all the money that comes in, you use all that money and none of it is going towards saving or investing or debt repayment. You need to figure out a way to break free of that cycle, because that will keep you stuck for sure, forever. And you'll never proactively get to where you want to go. The thing about money is that it has time value. And what's important about that is just that the longer it takes for us, for you and I, to be saving and investing for our future objectives, the harder it becomes to actually reach and achieve those. So just get started with a little bit. Save 2%, save 5%. If you're in a company that offers a 401k, start deferring. Reach out to your HR leader and say, hey, I want to get into the 401k. How do I do that? I bet you won't even notice a couple of percentages that are going into your account. And then from there, you'll keep bumping it up. You'll continue to change your behavior. And if in this example, you're going to start investing in the stock market, mutual funds or exchange traded funds, whatever is available inside your 401k. But then from there, be thinking about, okay, if I did get that $25,000 that came my way, fell into my lap, no strings attached, what would I want to do with that? What kind of an investor would I like to be? Stick with the stock market, get into real estate, crypto, a business, whatever. Just think about that. You are perfectly capable of doing any of those things. You're perfectly capable of learning how to invest any different way possible, certainly these ways. One of the things I know for sure is that we have to be intentional about this stuff, and that the best time to do it is 30 years ago. The next best time is today. All keeping in mind that there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are, dear listener. So act accordingly.